Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I am your host, Cody, and this week starts a new month and a new theme, and I did overstate last week when I mentioned probably something romantic comedy because of, you know, Valentine's Day. I was intending to do that, but then I watched a movie that gave me a better idea. That idea is to talk about Mads Mikkelsen. For the folks who don't know who Mads Mikkelsen is, he's an actor. Hence the reason I'm talking. Well, not hence the reason I'm talking about, but the reason I'm talking about him. He is a Danish actor. His real name is Mads Mikkelsen. Or Mads Ditman Mikkelsen. He has a very large career. He has done a lot of work in Denmark. He did a shit ton of movies that were in Danish. I haven't watched them, but I did. The reason I know of them is I read about them because a director that basically gave him his second ever movie. He did three movies with him. Well, he's done more than three movies with him, but he started with a trilogy. First movie is called Pusher. The director's name is Nicholas. I want to say it's Vending Wren. It might be Wending Wren. I'm not too sure, but he has done a bunch of things. And I'll talk a little bit more about him when I come to one of his movies, because his movie is not first. So the movies I'm going to be watching, I was going to watch some of the other ones, but I went with ones I've seen that I really liked him in. They're not, I mean, some people will say they're not the best movies in the world, but I actually don't care. I liked him in them. I picked ones that I thought he did an extremely good job in, and I stayed away from the bigger ones. So the only real big one I had in here was Casino Royale, just because he's amazing in that movie, but I also really love that movie. So today's movie is Polar. It's a brand new movie on Netflix, and I'll go over it in a minute. Then we have next week will be Casino Royale. The week after will be King Arthur, which some people arguably say is not very good. I actually really like this movie a lot. It's a lot of fun. It's ridiculous. I'll go over more of it the third week. And the last week of the month, we'll do my favorite movie starring Mads Mikkelsen. And this is the movie that's directed by Nicholas Vending Ren. I can't talk tonight. Renf, I think is. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. I have to look it up online. But it's called Valhalla Rising. I believe you can still watch it on Netflix. It's not even that old. I mean, it's 10 years old. It is. It's a. Oh God, so good. Oh, we'll talk about that another day. We'll talk about it in the month. That's what we're going to be talking about today, is Mads Mikkelsen, and we're going to start with his movie Polar. I didn't go over all of what Mads Mikkelsen's known for. He's most notably known more recently as he's been in a bunch of movies, but his probably the most iconic role of his that most people know him from, besides the villain from Casino Royale, but he played a Dr. Hannibal Lecter in the TV show Hannibal, based on the Silence of the Lambs movies. So he's basically playing a younger version of Anthony Hopkins, Hannibal Lecter, He was so good in it. Like, it was kind of ridiculous how good he was in that show. The show was was good the first, I would say, first two seasons. The third one, this halfway through the second one, actually dropped off for me quite a bit. And the third one is really where it nosedive. And it's no, I mean, they tried to elongate stuff, and they were basically making stuff up because they started with the first book, and then they were kind of leading into the other ones. It didn't matter. Doesn't matter. We're not here to talk about that. But that's what his most notable role is for television wise, for sure. But he was in a Rogue One, a Star Wars story. He played Galen Erso, who was the father, the guy basically that designed the Death Star and the exploit of the Death Star. He's also Caecilus, I think is how you pronounce it. It's the villain from Doctor Strange. So some of you might know him from that. As well as, I mean, he was in, unfortunately, he was in Three Musketeers, the Paul W. Anderson movie. He was in Clash of the Titans. He voiced Chick Hicks in Cars, the Danish dub, not the American one. Sorry, I should have said that first. The Danish version of Cars. He did the voice for it, which I thought was pretty funny. And then the movies I mentioned, he's been in so many movies, it's ridiculous. Like, he was doing three or four movies a year, back to back, a bunch of movies in Denmark, short films too as well in Denmark. Oh, that's right. He played Randall Boggs in the Danish version of Monsters, Inc. I thought that's pretty funny, too. I was going through all these movies. But anyways, yeah. So that's Mads Mikkelsen. He's an awesome dude. I dig him so much in everything he does. He's just so good. But Polar. So Polar is a neo-noir action film based on the comic series by the same name, Polar. So a little history of Polar. So Polar started off as a webcomic, a very interesting webcomic. It was basically written and illustrated by Victor Santos, who, again, well, he wrote and directed, I don't have to mention that. The crazy thing about it, when you say written, the original iteration of it, which was done on a webcomic and had no words. It was just pictures. And so I say written, he had to obviously write a script and then draw out everything that was happening, which is insane. And that's not where I did not know what it was when it was out that way. I did not know of his existence then. I discovered it when Dark Horse started publishing it in 2013. And they basically, when they published it, they actually added word bubbles back into it or onto it. So it actually had dialogue and you could read it. It wasn't just lovely pictures to delight yourself with. The art in it is staggering. It's amazing. It is very noir. So if you don't know what noir is, it's very flat colors. It's essentially a variant on black and white. And I say that because, well, it has color in it, but it's very, very limited color. It's usually very non-detailed, I guess is really what you want to call it. It's a pretty bleak tale. It's really fun though. So when I grabbed a hold of it was, was from San Diego Comic-Con when they announced it. And then I bought the first one. I only actually own the first one. I've never read any of the other ones, which is probably shitty of me. But, I really dug it. And they spaced them out a lot. It is a really fun book. There are five volumes now. Four volumes. The fourth. There's Polar Volume 0 through Volume 4. Volume 0 is new. It's a prequel that's released later this year, actually next month. And then the following month is Volume 4. But I'm probably going to pick up the other ones because how much I actually really enjoyed the movie. I pulled out my copy, which I'm staring at currently. The spine of it sitting on my bookshelf. And I really enjoyed it a lot. It's really, really fun. So I'll probably buy the other ones, the other two that are out, and then probably pick up the other two when they come out subsequently in the next couple months. But anyways, that's that. I think it's really for the comic book. In the movie, besides Mads Mikkelsen, you have Catherine Winnick. Who, for the life of me, I just could not picture where I knew her from, and I had to look it up. And then once I saw it, I was like, "Well, I'm a big stupid idiot." So, whatever. She's in Vikings. She plays Lagertha. She is awesome in Vikings, and I know why I didn't recognize. I mean, I recognize her face. I just didn't know why. That's the reason why is. In Vikings, she always has her hair back. It's in different braids or whatever, but her face is always, she always looks kind of the same. This one, she has different colored wigs, and she's definitely doesn't look like a Viking. So that was she's in it. She plays. Excuse me, I have the hiccups right now, and it's very uncoming. Ooh, she plays Camilla in this. It is pretty spectacular. She's nothing special in the movie, but she's a pretty fun character. But it's all about Mads in this movie, which I'll go into in a minute. Then you have Matt Lucas. Matt Lucas, some of you will have no idea who he is. He's a British actor, most notably. His biggest roles were in a television show where he played, well, both television shows that I'm going to mention. He played various roles, but he was in a show called Rock Profile, and he was in a show called Little Britain. Little Britain is where I first learned who he was. And then later on, he was, for movie-wise, he was in the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland. He played Tweedledee and Tweedledum. He also reprised that role in the second one, which, if you ask me, is terrible. Just a terrible fucking movie. And the first one, the Tim Burton one, it was cool. And it was all right. It just wasn't spectacular. But the second one was fucking trash. Utter trash. And that's just me. And I didn't see the second one in theaters, mainly because I saw the trailers and I was like, well, this looks like a hot steaming pile of complete fucking garbage. I saw the first one in theaters, a little funny story about this one, which I'll probably never talk about, so I'll tell you right now. I got stood up for a date for that movie. I'm not going to mention her name, but she's a bitch. Anyways, not really a blind date. It was like a setup from a friend, which, by the way, fuck you. And you know who you are. You know this story. If you're listening, you know who this is, and you know who you are, and fuck you and fuck her. Anyways, so we decided to meet there. She said she was a big Tim Burton fan. I'm a big Tim Burton fan. So we decided to see this movie. So we were going to meet there. I bought the tickets. I was waiting. She texted me, said, "Hey, I'm going to be late. There was some traffic. I didn't get out in time. I'll meet you there. Just go ahead and go to the movie and I'll meet you there." She said, "I'll text you when I get there," which is kind of shitty because it means I have to get up from the movie and whatever, right? I could have just returned them. So I, being a nice guy, I said, "Okay, fine." So started watching the movie, and clearly she was not showing up. She ghosted the shit out of me. I stayed and watched the rest of the movie. I really enjoyed the first movie. That was very bizarre, just like Tim Burton does. It was quite fun. It was an interesting take on Alice in Wonderland. It came around the same time as Oz the Great and Powerful with James Franco, the one directed by Sam Raimi. They're both like twists and things on a classic. It is interesting. It was very fun. One of the newer Johnny Depp performances I really dig until the second fucking movie where they just ruined it. Since Matt Lucas was in that tyrant about that movie. The last notable person in it, and he's not in it very long, is Johnny Knoxville, of course, of Jackass fame, and truly a man of many talents. On this one, he is a he lasts about 5 minutes. He's the intro to the movie, kind of setting up a thing. It didn't last long, but that's okay. He's fun when he's on camera. He's just a lot of fun to be around and watch. But that's it for the notable cast. The cast itself is not very long or very big at all. But those are the only names I really knew and recognized from knowing of other things. So Polar, I'll give you a breakdown. So Polar is excuse me. And now I have a cough. It's fucked. Basically, Polar is about this hitman named Duncan Vizsla, and he is about to retire. The company he works for has a policy. Basically, if you when you work for them, they pay you money like normal, and then they build this trust for you. Or this fund, and so basically the fund itself is like a retirement fund, essentially, right? The more money you put into it, they match it for a certain amount. So basically on their 54th birthday, they can retire, and then the whatever they have, the company will match it. So if you have $2 million, you get a payout of $4 million. Make sense? Okay. So he's getting ready. He has 2 weeks before his 54th birthday, and he essentially gets targeted because the guy, played by Matt Lucas, Mr. Blutt, is trying to sell the company to another group of people. I have no idea who they are. Goddamn hiccups. Sorry, I just ate, so it's probably not a good time to just fucking start talking. But anyways, so Matt Lucas' character, Mr. Blutt, Blutt, I don't know. Anyways, Mr. Blutt, we'll say. I should have watched this again the other day, but I watched it, like I said, like a couple days ago. And I was like, well, it was a great idea. I like Mads Mikkelsen. So he hires, Vanessa Hutchinson. I forgot. That's the other person. I said four, right? I forgot to mention. Vanessa Hutchinson in this movie. She's the fifth person in this movie. I said Johnny Knoxville. I don't think he must have gone over. Oh, Richard Dreyfuss is in it. I keep forgetting he's in it. Such a small role. Vanessa Hutchins is Camilla. Catherine Winnick is Vivian. Matt Lucas is Mr. Blute. Johnny Knoxville is Michael Green. And Richard Dreyfuss plays Porter, who is a mentor, a former mentor of Duncan's. So basically, also a policy of this company, the reason he's bringing this up, if a person under their employee dies before retirement, the money that is built in their retirement fund goes back to the company. So the company's in debt. He has Matt Lucas's character, Mr. Blute, has an idea how to save the company to make it not in debt. He'll sell it. So the plan is he's going to kill Duncan, who has an $8 million something payout coming to him in 2 weeks. And that'll make them flush, and he can sell the company to this other group of bad people, apparently. Or people who want to do bad things. Not too sure how it works. And I should say, Matt Lucas is a cartoon character in his own right in this movie. It's super fucking weird. He's always putting on lotion, and he's got this weird birthmark on the side of his face, and I don't know, it's very fucking weird. Anyhow, so he hires this group of people. Vivian is like his contractor. She hires all these people. So he hires Axel or Alexia, Cindy with an S, like Cindy, Funkudo, I think his name is, Carl, Hildy, and Regine. Is there five of them? Five. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. No, it's got to be five. Two, three, four, five. Yeah, five. To kill him. Because he's a very high-powered assassin, he doesn't... No one really knows where to find him. So part of their job is to find him and kill him. So that's essentially it. I don't want to spoil it for you. Extremely violent. It is... Imagine John Wick on acid. And this is what you got. It is outlandish. Not as outlandish as Maniac Cop. Maniac Cop is fucking weird, too. Not as outlandish as Officer Down, which I don't remember if I talked about on this show. I don't even talk about the main show. The movie's fucking crazy. I love the comic book. I love the movie, too. It's just fucking madness. I'll talk about it another time for adaptations of comic books, because it is an adaptation of a comic book. But it's just a fucking, just bodies everywhere. The torture scene that he goes through, unsettling. Oh my God. The sound effects, it still gives me chills. It is one of the hardest scenes that I've ever sat through, other than another movie that Mads Mikkelsen was in, I'm going to talk about, which is the chair scene from Casino Royale, which is one of the most fucked up scenes in a movie I've ever seen in my life. But we'll talk about that another time. And next week. That's all I'm going to say for Polar. If you like ultra-violent action movies with not the greatest characters... I don't want to say performances, because I think everyone played them really well. There's a couple people that definitely just aren't actors. Still really fun. I think it's it for this week's episode, or this week's talk about movie. So again, gonna give you the list. So we're talking about Mads Mikkelsen. The movies are, today was Polar, next week will be Casino Royale, James Bond movie. Then the week after that is King Arthur, and the last week is Valhalla Rising. I believe all of these, I don't think Casino Royale is on Netflix anymore. I didn't look before. I own both Casino Royale and Valhalla Rising, but I think Valhalla Rising is on Netflix. I'm going to find King Arthur too. So that's the movies for this month I'm going to be talking about. Pretty spectacular movie, guys. You should check it out. It's on Netflix. It's if you have the Netflix, you have access to it. Again, it's very, very violent. So if you're not into the violent movies, steer clear of this one. Matter of fact, steer clear of all of these movies, because they're all quite violent. This one in Valhalla Rising, by far of the four that we'll be talking about this month are definitely the violent ones. But yeah, that's I think that's it for. Oh, and the soundtrack was done by Deadmau5. If you wanted to listen to it, so yeah, it's a pretty interesting soundtrack. But yeah, that's it for Polar and the Mads Mikkelsen's talk. So the last thing I'll bring up is what I've been reading. So I finished, I talked last week, I finished the, not the most recent Space Team book, but the Space Team, The King of Space Must Die, is the one. Real fun. Love those books. Kind of spoiled something for one of the Dan Dedman books, but I guess that's my fault for not reading all those ones and not reading them in order. But, you know, far be it from me to know that they would do that. But it's got a lot of returning characters in this one, and just the shit goes on is just fantastic, and it's it pays off so well in a fun way. Has a real bit of emotion in it, though, towards the end there. Actually, I think there's like two sections of it that are pretty emotional, I should say. Just like the end of Time Titan of Tomorrow. Yeah, so that's that. Then I started reading, which I believe I told you guys about, is a book called The Passage by Justin Cronin. It is now a TV show by the same name, starring Mark Paul Gosselaar. I watched the first episode of the show. It was very intriguing. I haven't watched the other. They're on like six episodes? I should probably know this. Hold on, I'll tell you right now. In The Passage is a trilogy, by the way, and I'll go over those two. And I don't know. This book is super fucking long, by the way. Polar. It's 766 pages in the hardcover, 879 pages for paperback. It's not that old. It was written in 2010. And it's pretty heavy. It's a heavy book. That's funny. The theme of it is very heavy, and it's very misleading from the show. And I'll go over the differences so far I know. The television show has aired four episodes. I was wrong. I was like six. I can't remember. Four. The fourth one was just yesterday. So Mark Paul Gosselaar's in it. What is his name? Is it Jamie McShane? Is that his name? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. I'm not gonna talk about the TV show much. But anyways, the first episode was interesting. I think they edited it in a weird way. It jumped a lot, but they're trying to cram a lot of story into that first episode, which I really think hurt it. And this isn't talking about, I'm not even talking about what you hear in the book is a whole different fucking ballgame, and it is, I'm not gonna say drastically different. It is pretty different though. I guess the main thing would be that they don't touch on the severity of the world as much in the TV show, I've noticed. From one episode I watched, versus than they do in the book, and I'll tell you why in a second about the book. But there's a lot of glaring differences in just how the story's told versus the premise and things, weird things in it too. You know, that's neither here, whatever that saying is. I can't talk. My hiccups are gone, so you're welcome. So the setting of the passage is set in the near future. I'm reading this, so don't think I'm just saying this off the top of my head. This is a description of the setting. The passage begins in a near future and details an apocalyptic and later post-apocalyptic world that is overrun by vampire-like beings who are infected by a highly contagious virus. That's what I'll tell you. It is the little bit of the apocalyptic world that we live in, that's in, is so lightly treaded on, unless you're paying attention to the words and what the words mean. And it's very interesting the way they do it. So far, I'm only, let's see, maybe a tenth of the way in. I can't remember what page I'm on, and my Kindle is somewhere buried on this fucking desk. Or is it my backpack? I don't know where it's at right now. I was listening to the audiobook the last couple days because of my work schedule. But I'm 5.5 hours into the audiobook, and there's another 31 hours to go. It's very long. Not, oddly enough, not as long as The Stand, by any means. Because The Stand, one of the greatest books ever read, and one of the best Stephen King books ever written, is a great post-apocalyptic book, but it's so fucking long. It's weird I say that it's one of my favorite books, because a lot of people, it's, I don't know if it's like hated or loved or whatever. I think most people think it's one of his best ones. Again, I could be completely wrong about that, but there's the page. I was looking for the page count of The Stand. The Stand is 1,152 pages long, and that's the uncut edition they released later in the in 1990. Oof, man, I had to read. That actually added more to it, like another, like I think it was like another like 200 pages were added back in versus the original release in 1980, so 10 years later. Anyhow, so The Stand is a very post-apocalyptic book. It's very much so because of the disease that it hits in it, what the basically the super flu, as they refer to it, and well, for a lot of things in there, but it's a super flu. It's a weaponized strain of influenza. We'll talk about The Stand another day. Anyways, so the passage, the whole post-apocalyptic or apocalyptic, and then later post-apocalyptic setting for the book is so much different than the movie or the TV show, because the TV show seems like it's regular every day, and then even the way that the infection happens to the people is different. In the show, they stumble upon a vampire who's in a cage in this cave that attacks one of them and basically turns him into patient zero. In this, unless I miss something, they get attacked by a swarm of bats that chew people apart, are tearing people up. And I think they were framed as bigger than normal bats too, like they're very large. And then they catch it and they get this hemorrhagic fever they start bleeding and then they die. And it's very and it's interesting the way they do it. So basically the whole premise of the book is this. There's this doctor who is trying to find a way to cure all diseases, and he thinks he finds a way, and it has to do with this this virus and the what it does to your thalamus, which is an organ that you have when you're little, that spurts your growth and your body's natural healing, I think is what it's from there. And eventually as you mature and you basically hit, I know it's not puberty, it's one of those ones around there, where eventually it goes dormant. And this is basically, he has a theory, if he can use this virus property, because it kickstarts the thalamus back into production, which helps you heal and keeps you from getting diseases and things like that. He thinks he can use the virus to kickstart that and permanently make the thalamus function forever, which will then help you live longer. I got to the part in the book just now with the little girl and Amy, who up until this point I knew was different. She was smarter than she should have been, because she never really went to school. Had a tragic upbringing. But was talking to animals, so that was fucking weird. But so far, a pretty interesting book. The show, I don't know if it's popular right now or not. I don't. The first episode threw a lot at you, very loosely, and is less focusing on one thing versus another. But the main character, played by Paul Gosselaar, is a very tragic character in his own right, and it's just, I mean, it's pretty so far it's pretty good. And there's three books. They are The Passage, The 12, and The City of Mirrors. City of Mirrors only came out 3 years ago. The 12 came out in 2012. Well, that's weird. And then, of course, The Passage came out in 2010. And all of them have really good reviews from what I saw. So I will probably be, depending on how I like this one. God damn it, excuse me. I may go on to the other ones. And they are the first one is definition of fucking a goddamn novel. I mean, it's pretty fucking long. His writing, Justin Cronin's writing is very interesting. He throws a lot of details, but man, he really dives deep into things that a lot of people won't mention, like, do. Stephen King does it too, where he gives you backstories of these characters. But in the way this seems is, it's backstory to a character that doesn't matter in a way. And I don't know that for sure, because I'm not that far into it. But they're pretty some fucked up shit. There's a group of child molesters. They talk about the pill they take that kills their libido, shrinks their balls, makes them docile, but gives them soft skin and soft hair. So there's a trade-off, I guess. Amy's mom was basically turned into a prostitute by accident, by just happenstance, and then shoots a college kid in the head to get away from getting gang raped by a fraternity. I mean, there's so much. There's this this nun. Is she a nun? I think it's a nun. She has this weird thing where I think she was raped by a bunch of dudes in her, where she comes from, which is in Africa, after her family was slaughtered by these guerrilla soldiers. The way they talk about it's so weird. But she believes that she, like, it's, I don't know, it's very strange the way they do it. But it's very, the book is very dour and down, but so far, a really good book. I'm really digging the characters and the kind of fucked up shit that's going on. And the little sprinklings of the apocalypse happening through it, like New Orleans being a cordoned off wasteland, that got repeatedly destroyed by different storms and stuff, and eventually fell to the pressures of nature and has been cordoned off, and it's illegal to go there now. So that's pretty interesting. But yeah, I think that's it for everything I wanted to talk about. So quick recap. This month's theme, Mads Mikkelsen. We'll do four movies. Tonight was Polar. This episode's Polar. Next week's episode will be Casino Royale. The week after that will be King Arthur. And the week after that, which is last week of February, will be Valhalla Rising. And that's Mads Mikkelsen. And we'll talk about that, as we go on the month. But that's it for this week's episode, everybody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody. And also, as usual, as what I was supposed to say, is let's be awesome.